Some of the luminaries who were involved in the study of the Kabbalah include a Moses Cordovero, who lived from 1522 to 1570, and a person who I'm going to mention, who I think I've mentioned already, and I'm going to be mentioning in several other contexts, Joseph Caro, who, quite paradoxically, is also the author of a great Jewish code called the Shulchan Aruch, or the Ordered Table. Indeed, his code was so important, as we will hear about later on, that it soon rivaled and even surpassed the great code of Moses Maimonides, which you do remember, called the Mishneh Torah, a summary of Jewish law, a digest of Jewish law. What is this legal scholar doing in the field of Kabbalah and Safed, and what is he doing thinking about spiritual thoughts in this way? But this Caro is a fascinating figure and perhaps typifies the fact that Kabbalists and legalists need not be on the opposite sides of the fence. In fact, it is possible to love Jewish law, to integrate Jewish law into a kind of spiritual approach to Judaism. Caro also wrote a work, a kind of spiritual diary, which has been analyzed psychoanalytically, called Magid Mesharim, which is essentially about a magid. A magid is a voice, a celestial voice that speaks in your ear. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. It's usually my wife who's calling to me, not a celestial voice. But I'm told that there are such things. And indeed, the whole book is the Magid is telling Caro about his spiritual dreams, or he's having spiritual dreams via the Magid. In fact, if I'm introducing the word Magid, celestial voice, let me introduce another word, which maybe you are familiar with as well, which is also typifies the environment of Safed. Dibukim. A dibuk is a kind of spirit that takes possession over your body. Think of the witch trials, and we're on the same ground here. Judaism has its own version of possession and possession narratives. The difference is that the men and women that are possessed are usually not victimized, as in the Salem trials or other such things. In other words, there's no such witch hunts in Judaism. But many of the people who receive these spirits are, in fact, women, which is very interesting. We have in this community prophets who are men, but also prophets who are women. In any case, this is a very interesting world, a world of celestial angels coming down and speaking in one's ear. And at the same time, we have spirits taking possession of bodies, and they have to be removed by the rabbi, just as the priest did it in a similar way within the Christian world. So that spirit possession and spirits in general, both good ones and bad ones, reflect the kind of atmosphere, mystical atmosphere, which is Safed. Cordovera, who I mentioned before Caro, is a very important Kabbalistic thinker, a systematizer, a person who leaves us many volumes of work, and clearly is the dominant Kabbalistic personality prior to Isaac Luria, who I will mention in a second. So Cordovero, Caro, I could mention a whole group of other names, but let us leave it with these two. Caro, therefore, is attracted to come to Safed, despite the fact that he had made a name for himself, had published this important code, and thereby engages in a fellowship of Kabbalists. He becomes part of a spiritual scene, which creates all kinds of mystical works, mystical prayers, an explosion of liturgy, midnight vigils, new forms of prayer and prayer experiences. This is a world filled with the spiritual, and all of these people seem to become deeply involved with it. Now, the most significant personality of this story is Isaac Luria, who lives from 1534 to 1572. 3 years before his premature death, he comes to Safed. And although he writes very little, much of his work is interpreted by his prophet, Chaim Vital, who lived from 1542 to 1620, who was also a very important Kabbalist and magician in his own right. But despite the fact that this is primarily an oral teaching, Luria seems to transform an entire generation of Kabbalists with his own understanding of the world.